Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you open our hearts and minds to your words, to your calling on our lives, and the encouragement which you seek to give each of us. We thank you for this time of Advent, for your light, for your coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. Well, I'm not going to launch straight into my sermon, because this sermon took a long time coming. If I was having a baby, it would probably be the equivalent of, I don't know, 48 hours labour or something. And for me, this is a sign that often when God is doing something good in the world, that the devil is always at our heels trying to destroy it. And I very much felt when I was trying to write this, that this was what was happening to me. And I just give you that to think about also. Well, in the scripture appointed for us this Sunday in Advent, the beginning of the church's liturgical calendar, we hear again of the loving and merciful Creator, described as a God of hope and expectation, a God of promise and fulfillment. And these dual themes of hope and promise are fulfilled both historically and prophetically in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Advent, though, is a season of preparation not just for the retelling of the story of the Nativity of the Lord under the humblest of circumstances, but perhaps more importantly, for the return of the Messiah in glory. The beginning of chapter 21 of Luke's Gospel has the title, Signs of the Ends of the Age. And I'd like to read verses 5 to 7 to put our Gospel reading into context. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left upon another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" And so in verse 25, our reading this morning begins with Jesus' description of the signs and warnings of the end times, as we just heard. "At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And the circumstances of his second coming in power and great glory are, of course, a stark contrast for his first coming in weakness and vulnerability. The coming of Christ with power and great glory will signal that he will complete the salvation which he began in us, as well as creation's redemption, the church's honour as Christ's bride, and the end of evil. And glorification is the word we use to denote salvation's final completion. And we're not to be preoccupied with trying to understand the details of Christ's second coming, but rather in catching a glimpse of the message of redemption, of healing being completed. And the Gospel tells us that there will be suffering before these days appear. And why will there be suffering? Because we have to be transformed. And Paul prays for our transformation. He prays that we will abound in love, that our hearts will be strengthened, that we will be blameless in holiness, and that we will conduct ourselves to please God. But we're not to be preoccupied with ourselves either. We are to be obedient to his call. We're to be open to God, and he will do his work in us through his Holy Spirit. I love looking at the Old Testament. I lift my head from the parapet and I see that God always was, it's not just about the now, it's about the past and the present and the future. And I love the Old Testament and the prophets. And the reading from Jeremiah tells us of God's ancient promise to save his people through an anointed descendant of David, the Messiah. And he did that in Jesus. And David's line then appeared dead as Babylon brought doom upon Jerusalem. But Jeremiah looked beyond the exile to a branch sprouting out of the dead tree. That hope looked for a future king who would bring about the reign of God and the redemption of his people. And I'd just like to recap on the reading. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And what's particularly striking about verse 15 of that reading from Jeremiah is the expected work of any great king is to build the power of his kingdom, to build its military might, to defeat its foes and those who would threaten it, and to build the wealth, security and power of that kingdom. And of course, that's what we see today in earthly kingdoms and regimes. And of course, that is the opposite in who we see in Jesus, the servant king, who does not have a kingdom to build, who does have a kingdom to build, but not an earthly one. And the task assigned by God to the true branch of David is to execute justice and righteousness in the land. And it's very interesting, two very strategic Hebrew words are used at this point in the text. And for all you Hebrew scholars out there, please pardon how I say it. Mishpah is translated justice, and Tzedakah is translated righteousness. And Mishpah is a technical word and is a formal check of the law as to how Israel or the Israelites are to conduct their political, economic, social or religious lives together. And Tzedakah, mostly translated as righteousness, has a profoundly different meaning. It is used in the Old Testament for right action and for fair dealing between people, with a particular commitment to righting the wrongs that cause people to be poor, marginalized, and needy. It doesn't simply mean the equality of everyone before the Lord. God has a bias for the poor. It has an intentional and preferential commitment toward the poor that would tend to make one rule in their favour wherever possible. And this then is the work of the Anointed One, the Messiah. And this then is the work of those who have been redeemed in Christ, you and I. Whilst we wait for Jesus' second coming, we can realise two things then. Firstly, God through the Holy Spirit is busy transforming us daily into his likeness so that we can be found holy and blameless when he comes. And secondly, we're not to sit comfortably whilst this takes place. So the righteous person in Christ is as committed as Jesus to the empowering and liberation of the poor and marginalised. And we know when we look at the news, there's so much going on, so many people suffering, and that's our concern. The true branch of David is indeed God in the flesh, God working for justice through human hands. And according to Luke, salvation is personal and individual, but it's also social, corporate, and even cosmic. Salvation is neither ethereal, something out there, nor merely future. but it embraces life in the present, restoring the integrity of human life, revitalizing human communities, setting the cosmos in order. Salvation is the commissioning of the community of God's people to put God's grace into practice among themselves and toward ever-widening circles of others. And I've given a picture here of standing at a pond and throwing a stone in, and we all know how the ripples go out. And that's when we're in Christ and doing his will, as we're called to do, somehow at some point the ripples overlap and they reach out. And I like that picture very much because it's very encouraging. And we can visualize the impact we Christians have in this world. Sometimes our task is overwhelming, but we're not to be discouraged. And so then to conclude, Jesus is the Messiah, the shoot of David. In Advent, we look again at his birth into our world. As Christians, we are to do the work of Jesus, living with the marks of Jesus' ministry, justice and righteousness. As Christians, we are constantly being renewed by the Holy Spirit, that we may stand holy and pure when Jesus comes again. We're not to be overwhelmed with a Christian task, rather to lift our heads to see the wider picture. And in prayer, it's in prayer that we will be able to discern Jesus coming again. And finally, we end with Jesus' words from verse 36 of the Gospel. Be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.